Hi, this is Jeremiah McCoy. Welcome back to The Tome Show Presents. Well, this is our third installment with the One Bad Egg product line and the interview with Lee Hammack. Now, in this one, Lee will be talking about The Purifiers, another project that he wrote with One Bad Egg, and I'm going to give you some preliminary information about The Purifiers so that you'll have better context when listening to the interview. Now, The Purifiers, again, another PDF product from One Bad Egg. They just do PDFs. It's available through RPG Now, Indie Press Revolution, and Paizo.com, and a few other sites. Now, it's $4.99, so it is a little more expensive than the Ape Lord, but still quite reasonable. This is not so much for the players. This is really very much a product for the Game Master. It is a listing of bad guys. And when I say bad guys, as with a lot of bad guys, they start out kind of as good guys. The intentions of the group, the Purifiers, was to protect and serve and purify at some point. But at some point, they also changed and they became something else. In this PDF, which is 20 pages of information, complete with artwork and stat blocks like you would find on the Wizards of the Coast site, are mainly monsters, mainly bad guys. Everything from the leader of the Purifiers, this Wilhelm Arctrasser, to his minions, to his sort of shock troops. There's a disease listed in here. There are rituals listed in here. Several adventure seeds. This is, again, a very much a Game Master focused PDF. There's not a lot here that a player is going to be needing, but if you plan on running an adventure in the Shroud, this is an excellent, excellent product for you to have. Now, I'm going to get into the interview here in just a minute. This will be the last of the interviews with Lee Hammack. We'll hopefully have some more interviews and more products from One Bad Egg for you to take a listen to later. If you are interested in these things, of course, by all means, go by the One Bad Egg site and buy them, or go to the Tome Show site and leave a comment there. Well, let's get into the interview. Now, where did the idea for the Purifiers come from?
Basically because a lot of we were talking over email one day, and Fred Hicks said he got a lot of the inspiration for the Shroud in general from Hellboy comics. And this was going along parallel, I think, to a discussion about we need a group of bad guys for the Shroud. We need, you know, a big group of bad guys for people to fight. And I was like, well, if this is inspired by Hellboy, we need Nazis. Because that's what Hellboy fights. Well, okay, he fights also crazy demon monsters, but Nazis are a big thing. But so I basically proposed this idea, and the Purifiers. The whole name of the group is the Purifying Horde of Arctrasar. Arctrasar being the guy, the name, who's the leader. And it basically is a group of people, the leader of which, Wilhelm Arctrasar. Before the Shroud showed up, they were just law-abiding people. He was a paladin, actually, in a little town. And the necromancer came in, killed a whole bunch of people in the town. Arctrasar and a bunch of the survivors went after him and chased him into the Shroud after it showed up. And while chasing him, got lost in the Shroud, basically. And one of the men with him ate this plant, which had been twisted by the power of the Shroud, basically, and turned into this thing that they came to call the Reborn, which are people who are too alive for their own good. They're basically so full of life, they're just not people anymore. It's kind of like zombies. Instead of being undead, they're the other end of the spectrum. So But the thing is, they had the Reborn could actually move around in the Shroud better. They had a better sense of what was going on than the humans, and they found out through experiments and stuff like that that anyone who ate these plants had a chance of turning into one of these Reborn. And so Arxtrosaur basically got more and more driven by vengeance and twisted by the Shroud, and in time basically started forcing people and transforming them into these monsters. They actually made masks that were basically like gas masks, except they have burning herbs in them to get people to breathe it in. So a lot of the Reborn have these like horrible smoking gas mask looking things on their faces, because smoking gas masks are just cool. And so basically he ends up going...
Lee said a very bad word. Lee is a bad monkey.
That crazy. Sorry.
I hate you just a little.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Bleep it out.
I will. I'll
bleep it out.
I'll bleep it out.
Time frame. 30. All right. Okay.
Okay. But, so... he goes crazy and has a whole bunch of followers and recruits some locals to work with him. And his whole goal is to destroy all the undead in the world, because he blames undead and necromancers for his village being wiped out. But he starts expanding that goal to, if I kill all the living people in the world, there won't be any undead. And so it's basically a core group of humans and all other mortal races who are thugs and soldiers and mercenaries and just bad people, leading a giant horde of zombies of various types, except they're zombies because they're too alive as opposed to dead. And, that's sort of like the basic idea for them. They wanted to provide a good bad guy group players could hate that had interesting history and had interesting abilities, because the Reborn all regenerate in some fashion. The minion ones, actually, the round after they go down, they can make a saving throw to get back up. And their leaders can actually spend a minor action to basically encourage them to get back up and give a bonus to the saving throw. So it's the sort of thing where, they're hard to put down.
When you were writing this, obviously you wrote it for the Shroud. How would you put this into, you know, your usual D&D setting, Forgotten Realms or Eberron or something like that?
It'd actually be pretty easy as long as you had some type of magic plant or thing that would transform people into crazy, two-alive zombie creatures. Anywhere you have something like that, which again, crazy magic making things go awry, you know, anywhere you have that sort of thing happening, it would be pretty easy to work in. I mean, the core monster stats and the NPCs are not really, you know, Shroud specific. You can use them anywhere. It's right. Just there needs to be some type of impetus, like some local plant or some, you know, ritual or some sort of thing that turns these people into these monsters.
Was there a particular theme that you were going for with Purifiers and Arxtrosaur?
Really going with sort of feeling of, I guess, characters falling to some extent, because it's about a hero who's fallen. It's about people who've been transformed into these monsters. So, I mean, it's really about sort of like the best intentions going horribly awry. Because okay. It's about, ultimately, Arxtrosaur wants to save the world from undead. His means for doing so are pretty horrible, and they're not really better than the undead. But it's basically about at least one character who's trying to do the right thing, and everyone around him trying to get him to do the wrong thing. Because all of his lieutenants are really just messed up people. I mean, one of them is a local tribal shaman who knows all about the plants they use and stuff like that, and he wants to take control of the horde and just use it to wipe out everybody. And then there's the necromancer they picked up that they basically live in this old abandoned castle. And she started finding ancient tomes and stuff like that and speaking to ghosts in it. And so there's all these other stories going on. It's not just, hey, there's a guy and he's got a bunch of these crazy monsters and he attacks everyone. There are all these other stories sort of tied into it. And, there are a whole bunch of bad people. And there's, like, I don't know, 10 different types. There's a whole bunch of different types of Reborn. There's, like, 5 or 6 Reborn. And there's a bunch of Purifiers who are basically, like, the human commanders.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a decent number of critter stats in it, too.
All right. Well, let's do sort of start to wrap this up. Having worked in 4E for a while now, what is your impression of it as a game developer?
I like it a lot. It allows you to do a lot of neat stuff. I just did some work from Goodman Games doing some class development stuff. And you can do... It's got a lot of neat stuff. I mean, I think we've only really seen the tip of the iceberg as to what you can do for powers and races and stuff like that. I think it's just going to get more interesting as we go along. There is the hurdle to cross. I mean, 4E is a very focused game. It is built for people to go into dungeons, kill monsters, and take their stuff. It does that very well. And as we go along, it'll do other things very well, I think, as people add on to it. But I think a lot of people have had negative reactions to it, have judged it on its first release, which, you know, it was a very focused game, and every release after that, it's opened up more and more stuff.
Right.
So I think the longer it goes, the better the game it's going to be.
Yeah, I have to admit, when it came out, my concern was 3.0 and 3.5, when they came out, were, here's a set of tools to do whatever you want.
Right.
4E is, here's the game we want you to play, right, and we'll add on to it later.
Right, which, as considering the quality of the add-ons they've had so far, I'm fine with that, because I think they've generally been very good.
Okay, and you mentioned that before with the GSL and the gods was
The GSL stuff still bugs me, but because it's impossible to... Well, you're never going to see... It's good and bad. You're never going to see the level of support and really interesting products that you got with the D20 license.
Right.
But you're not going to see the giant piles of, just horrible products. Because there are a lot of horrible products that came out with D20. And, there's a project I would love to do under 4th edition. It involves, real-world religions and angels. And angels in 4th edition are mercenaries of gods. And that's what they are. And you can't say they're something else. And angel is basically one of the defined terms. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can't do this in 4th edition then. And it's frustrating because it worked great otherwise.
Right.
But, I mean, and you can skirt the boundaries. There are companies doing that. But, my big boy britches ain't that big. So.
All right. Well, now, having done as much as you have with One Bad Egg, did you enjoy working on the project?
Oh yeah, tons. They're all good to work with. I mean, they're a bunch of great guys.
Okay.
I mean, I sort of feel like I am the least creative in the group, but it's in the email discussions. I'm the quiet one. So,
well, are there any other One Bad Egg projects that we can look forward to?
Yeah. We're working on a thing called the River of Death, which is an adventure series, adventure for the Shroud.
Right.
I'm working on the Forest of White Sky, which is an adventure/setting, I guess, is more of the priority, about the forest where the Ape Lords come from.
Right.
Those are the two big things we're working on now. I mean, we've talked about a bunch of other stuff, but unfortunately, I don't really know, which of those are actually going to get developed. It's a very sort of... It's a very interesting working process, because we basically have this email list, and people will come up and say, I have this idea. And it'll get bounced around, and if people like it, you kind of call the idea and say, hey, I want to do that.
Right.
And if you produce something good enough, rock on. So it's a very sort of, speak up and claim your ground sort of thing.
All right. And are there any other writing projects beyond One Bad Egg that you would like to plug or talk about?
Sure. I just finished up some work on the a book. It's a Warlock class book for Goodman Games, which is there's a bunch of really cool stuff. I just finished up a multi-class class write-up for a Level Up magazine from Goodman Games. And I just finished up, a few weeks ago, I guess, a section of text for a Song of Ice and Fire book from Green Ronin. And I've got some other One Bag A stuff going on. I've got some other Goodman Games stuff going on. And, it's one of those situations where I don't really know what all what all projects I'm supposed to talk about or not. But
I am intimately familiar with this problem.
Justin and I have talked about doing some stuff with Dawning Star later this year with 4th Ed, so...
Yay!
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, because we both love the game. And we'll just have to... We got some really great ideas for how we want to design it, using the 4th E sort of structure. But we'll have to see how all that goes.
All right. This has been the interviews with Lee Hammack, One Bad Egg, and various other projects. And, well, you've been listening to The Tome Show.
Well, folks, that was the interview with Lee Hammack. Now, of course, this is the last of the interviews with Lee Hammack. Like I said, I should be getting some more interviews with some people from the One Bad Egg group to talk about some of their other products. One Bad Egg has turned out a lot of PDF products, and they're pretty high quality, and you should certainly give them a look at. But till then, thank you for listening, and thank you for coming to The Tome.